There was a 5-year-old boy who went to Mass with his mother, and everybody was going up for Holy Communion. And he said to his mother, "I want to go to Holy Communion." The mother said, "No, you can't. You're only 5 years old. You haven't made your first communion yet." And the boy was not too happy about that. After communion, they did the second collection. The ushers came around to take up the collection, and the little boy was holding a dollar bill that the mother had given him, but he wouldn't put it into the collection basket. The mother said, "Why won't you put the money in the basket? Why don't you give the money to the church?" He said, "If I can't eat, I'm not paying. If I can't eat, I'm not paying." The Eucharist is the food for the journey. The Eucharist is our spiritual food to nourish us on the way to heaven. In fact, when a person receives their last Holy Communion, it's called viaticum. Viaticum is the Latin word which means the food for the journey. And with losing my dad a few months ago, I had the privilege of saying Mass for him every day for the last 2 weeks of his life and giving him his last Holy Communion, his viaticum, his food for the journey. Of course, today is Father's Day. And we think of all of our fathers, and we congratulate all of our fathers, godfathers, and grandfathers. And we think of God, our Heavenly Father, of course, the ultimate Father, who gave us His only Son, not only to die on the cross for us, but He gave us His Son in the Eucharist. Mother Teresa says, if you want to see how much God loved you in the past, look at a crucifix. She said, if you want to see how much God loves you right now, look at a tabernacle. Because Jesus said, "I will be with you always, even until the end of the age." So Jesus never leaves us. He's always with us in the most blessed sacrament, in His body, blood, soul, and divinity, in the Holy Eucharist. You know, when we look at today's Gospel, John chapter 6, one of the longest teachings in the Gospel about from the sermon from the Lord, it is about that the Eucharist. Jesus says that He is the bread of life. And Jesus says, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you do not have life within you." And the people quarreled and grumbled and said, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Well, Jesus answered it. He said, "The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world." Most of the disciples could not accept it. The Lord lost hundreds of disciples that day. They all walked away. The only ones that stayed around were the 12 apostles. And they didn't understand it either, but they would not leave Christ. And they said, Jesus says, "Are you going to leave me too, like all the rest?" And they said, "No. Lord, to whom else can we go? No one else has the words of eternal life." And they did stay. And it paid off, because at the Last Supper, it was revealed to them how Jesus could give them His flesh to eat. He would take bread and take wine and said, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." And then it all came together. That's how Jesus will give Himself. He would give us Himself under the appearances of bread and wine in Holy Communion. Notice what Jesus says at the Last Supper. "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." Jesus did not say, "This symbolizes my body, this represents my body, this reminds you of my body." He said, "This is my body, this is the cup of my blood." And at that very moment, a great miracle takes place, where the bread and wine are transformed into Jesus. His risen, glorified, resurrected body, blood, soul, and divinity become present under the appearances of bread and under the appearances of wine. The Church uses the word transubstantiation to tell us what happens at that moment. That's a very good word every Catholic should know, especially if you play Scrabble, you'll get a lot of points, right? Transubstantiation. It means that the substance is changed from bread and wine into Jesus, but the appearances still remain. And remember, Jesus said it, and as the bumper sticker says, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Because, you know, it's so interesting that Our brothers and sisters of other denominations who take the Bible very literally don't take, this is the only passage they don't take literally. When Jesus says, this is my body, this is my blood, they say that's figurative, that's symbolic. But Jesus was not speaking symbolically, he was speaking literally. And he says again in John chapter 6, my flesh is true food, my blood is true drink. Now the Lord prepared the apostles for this gift of the Eucharist by working certain miracles to lead them to this belief. For example, what was Jesus' first miracle? The changing of water into wine at the wedding feast of Cana. The Lord worked this miracle to obviously take care of a wedding party, a young couple that had run out of wine at their wedding. It was a great act of kindness. But it also showed Jesus had power over wine and over material things such as water and wine. And Jesus worked this miracle. Bishop Sheen speculates that, you know, why the wine ran out. He says, it's very evident in the Bible, it says the apostle showed up and the wine ran out, okay? It's a clear indication of cause and effect. So Jesus probably felt bad about it, and so he multiplied and changed the water into wine. And then, what about the loaves and fish? Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He was able to feed 5,000 people, 10,000 people. Again, showing he had power over bread, over material things. And then, when Jesus walked on the water, it showed he had power over his own body. That he could walk on the water. He rose from the dead, obviously. So notice that the Eucharist brings these miracles into one. Jesus already showed at Cana he had power over wine, multiplication of the loaves, power over bread, walking on the water, power over his body. He rolled all these miracles into one at the Last Supper. And remember, when Jesus spoke words, what he said took effect. If Jesus saw a leper and said, be cleansed, the leprosy left him. If he saw a deaf man and said, hear, the man could hear. A blind man, if Jesus said, see, the man could see. Lazarus was a dead man. And Jesus says, arise, and he came back to life. See, when Jesus spoke, nature listened. When he cursed a fig tree, it shriveled up and died. Remember the old TV commercial when I was a kid? There's a party, and somebody named E.F. Hutton spoke, and what happened? Everybody went quiet, because when E.F. Hutton spoke, people listened. But when Jesus spoke, nature listened. The bread, the wine, even the storm, Jesus could calm the storm. When Jesus spoke, his words became reality. So when Jesus said, this is my body, this is the cup of my blood, it had to become his body, had to become his blood. It had no way not to, because when Jesus spoke, nature listened, material elements listened. And don't forget, Jesus can be present under other appearances, in a disguise. Remember when he rose from the dead? He met Mary Magdalene. She thought he was the gardener. When the two apostles were on the way to Emmaus, they thought he was a pilgrim, a traveler. Jesus can be present, but he can disguise himself. And that's what happens in the Eucharist. He's truly present, but he disguises himself under the appearances of bread and wine. So I encourage each of us today on this feast day of Corpus Christi to renew our love and devotion for Jesus, truly present in the Blessed Sacrament, to realize that Jesus worked miracles to prove that he could change bread and wine into himself. He said it at the Last Supper, and every time we come to Mass, we have a chance to receive Jesus. So prepare well for Mass. On the way to Mass, have some time in silence and prayer to prepare for receiving Jesus. Try to come early. Read the Gospel ahead of time. Read the readings ahead of time to get more out of the Mass and the readings. Receive Jesus reverently and with great faith in Holy Communion. After you receive Him, spend time in prayer. Adore Him, love Him, thank Him, praise Him, ask Him for what you need. Make that time of thanksgiving. So preparation, reverent reception, and thanksgiving after Holy Communion can have us more fruitful Holy Communions. Please join us this afternoon at 2 o'clock when we'll take the Blessed Sacrament in procession from the new church. And this year will be a much shorter walk. We'll go from the worship center up to the sidewalk along Sideburn Road, I believe down Zion, and into the church parking lot. And we're going to do the benediction at the site of where the new church will be built. They've even marked off where the aisle will be, up the center aisle, and where the altar will be. And Father Barquette and I and the other priests will do the benediction at the spot where the new altar will be of our new church. So a Eucharist procession means not only do we believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior present in the Blessed Sacrament, but we want to proclaim to the outside world that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. And that's why we process the Lord in public, to show our public faith in the real presence of Jesus in the most blessed sacrament.